Interesting.
Andrea said. I mean, I do agree with Andrea completely that this process to be guaranteed has to involve the participation of as many as listeners or potential listeners as possible. I don't agree with what you said that the process has not been open. I don't know what you meant by that.
I think it has been not open. I don't think it's not open.
You said has it been open, or well, anyway, I'm glad that you didn't mean that because I felt that, for example, besides I didn't mention that earlier, but besides the meeting that we've had so far, as I said, we had 11, and they hover around 40. For example, the one we had in Brooklyn the other day, we had 39 people. The most we've had was like maybe 125, maybe once. We've had about four or five different shows dealing with this particular issue. And in most of those shows, we've had, again, representative of different positions within, you know, about certain issues. So to that extent, I felt it was open. Certainly not. And then, unfortunately, the fundraiser came about and knocked us off for at least a month. So right after we come back from San Francisco, the plan is to resume, hopefully immediately. Another thing that I should say openly now is that I've spoken to Bernard White, who's the program director. He has agreed to set up a meeting between maybe Leslie Kagan, who's the chair of the board, but certainly Janice K. Bryan and I, as co-chairs of the Bylaws Revision Committee, to meet with the majority of the producers, and if we cannot get a majority, do set up at least another meeting again and discuss the necessity for those producers to be involved directly on their own shows in having a discussion of those, to supplement those talks. Now, I know that might not be enough for some people. I've heard the idea that not only those individuals should make available the time, but they should also remove themselves and let listeners actually conduct those shows. At this point, what we're asking for is a system whereas we don't want to have five shows in 1 week and none the next week. A show we can coordinate it centrally with the producers, where after discussion, hopefully we can convince them that to preserve the institution, we need that kind of knowledge, that kind of involvement, and that they would, you know, would have a reasonable way of setting up. Maybe people can allocate part of their show, half an hour. Maybe could have that will not remove any of the shows that we already are planning on having. Meaning Janice Kim and I, and hopefully continuing with Dwight Scott Keys as an engineer and a full participant in a third element within those discussions. It would be to have as many producers as possible for the whole year, if necessary, have these regular discussions at least a few times a week, beyond whatever other discussions are taking place.
I'd like to follow up on that.
I cannot make this one go by, but I think that Fridays, And I have to say it this way, Fridays from 10 to midnight is a good time to have it. And it is, I'm saying this, Ms. Spooner, and for everyone else here, because my time slot was preempted to do this. So I think that it is a good time, you know, because I'm saying then, as I'm saying now, that though it was my program was preempted then for a discussion on Pacifica as it is, as it goes, I saw it as vendetta. That is why I laugh, you know, about free speech radio and democratic process and so on and so forth, because during our program last time I mentioned a couple of things. One is that change is necessary, if for no other reason but that it allows the once oppressed to become oppressors. And I'm saying that if, as was said, that it is in the interest of the discussion, I don't see why we should change the time. I'm being absolutely facetious, but I just couldn't let be an opportunity to, let me say, sling some mud pass by. And you were going to say, Sean.
What I was going to say is that what I feel is essential in bringing listeners, as many listeners as possible, into this process is airtime, not only of the national board meeting, which brings up a question for you, and Carol, if you know, this June meeting is going to be broadcast on the airwaves in addition to being streamed on WBIX.org. Mm-hmm. But also for the producers to take the role or take an initiative in having these discussions on a regular basis. Well, let's get to the national board question first, since that's, as we're speaking, the national board meeting is taking place, or technically, you all would have gotten through your day's first session, and at this point, kibitzing. So, tell us.
Certainly not sleeping.
No. So tell us, as we speak right now, do you know of their plans of broadcasting or carrying the meeting in its entirety or even some portions of it?
Right. Well, this is what I know. The National Board historically has taken the position that we do not preempt local programming, that local station managers have the decision-making power. And this board has kept to that historical view of local autonomy. So what is we are doing, KPFA is making this, the entire board meeting available for broadcast on all five stations. I don't know what WBAI has decided to do. KPFA is going to broadcast the opening session Friday night and all day Saturday and all day Sunday.
Okay.
Well, I can say that I know that Leslie Kagan, as chair of the board, has made clear that both within communication within the, with the board members and in public here in New York, that she either has or intends to urge the managers of every station to have the whole process be broadcast. I know that locally the coordinating committee of concerned friend of WBAI has voted pretty much unanimously, if I remember, to recommend that exactly the same, that that the whole, and I believe it is in interest of the process we're talking about, of education and participation. Unfortunately, I must say that during the report to the listeners that took place about a week and a half ago, I was a little bit surprised to hear the station manager say that when asked by an individual you know, as to whether it would be covered, that well, I don't want to distort the response, but I believe that, to paraphrase it accurately, was that a decision had not been made yet. And I was a little bit disappointed, and I'm hoping that what was meant by that is that the decision had not been made maybe as to how much coverage would take place rather than whether to cover it or not, because I truly believe that would be a regrettable decision not to cover.
I agree wholeheartedly. And that also brings up, well, two things. I understand that there's been a proposal in terms of these bylaw meetings to get coverage of them or even to get reports of them brought to the airwaves. And I understand that the person who came up with that proposal, Paul Sorovel, actually had a meeting with Bernard, and Bernard liked the idea. And can you give us a status, an update on where that stands? What's happened with that? Has it gone any further?
Well, actually, also, Concern Fund of WBAI had has voted, the national, the coordinating committee, again, has voted to recommend both to the national board and to the station management here at WBAI that individuals who are unable to attend be allowed to submit questions, and that a reasonable amount of them would be selected, and that those questions would be answered directly from during the national board meeting.
Yeah, that's a national board. I'm talking about the bylaws committee meetings, though. There was a proposal to get reports of those put on BAI's airwaves.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Well, okay, so for at this point, what we have achieved is that beginning right after we returned from after the 29th of June, that any meeting of the Bylaws Resolution Committee will be summarized within a 15-minute time slot during Democracy Now, during Wake Up Call, which is a very broadly listened to show program in the morning here, produced by, led by Bernard White, and that at this point, at least, Janice K. Bryan and I would do the summary of the previous discussions and tell, you know, let people know what is the next stage, what is the next step, including the location and time of the next meeting.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Also, as I said, though, at this point, we have other proposals made by Paul Sorovel, which at this point he felt were not applicable, were not executable immediately. But we're hoping, though, that if we really are able to convince the producers that this is part of what Pacifica is about, this is part of the role that, and including people who have been felt excluded or fearful of the process, to own the process and to be part of it by allowing the discussion and guiding the discussion and learning themselves about this process and the history of Pacifica, and that maybe other measures might not be necessary. But if we don't have enough producers participating, it's clear that we will have to step up, you know, involvement in different directions.
Well, as a producer, I would just like to say one thing. To me, when I hear people say that meetings of this type or shows of this type are boring, I say to myself, well, what about Iran-Contra hearings or Watergate hearings? I'm sure there were people who found those boring, but did that stop coverage of them? And I equate, you know, Pacifica with the same thing. This is something very important. And actually, when you think about it, what you're getting with these meetings is tales of corruption within a large nonprofit organization, efforts to reform the organization, attempts to redistribute power, and power is always a sexy thing, you know, and ultimately come up with what is essentially a new constitution. Now, if that's not riveting, I don't know what is.
Well, the fear for some people is because we know that when, for example, in the show that I mentioned that has been done with Dred Scott Keyes, that the five shows that we've done, usually the whole board is lit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, until the end when we announce that we're no longer taking calls, literally or almost literally every single line is occupied. So we do know. I mean, once in a while people call and they want to talk about programming and things like that. I think the fear is really, I guess, that potential that somebody just surfing to the radio would listen to a discussion like that and not be able to relate to it. And there might be some truth to it. However, I think that we have to gain is much, and it behooves us to make that as interesting as possible. And I think we can do so.
All right. Well, before wrapping up here, I'd like to suggest or encourage people to go to WBAI.net to get information and see links to various sites of interest relating to all of these matters. Also, Andrew, for Pacifica Matters, what's a website that people can go to check that out?
Well, Pacifica Matters is a group of people attempting to have ongoing discussions of governance and attempting to actually get a program on the air, a national simulcast weekly, as part of really the governing structure of Pacifica, conducted by listeners, discussion by listeners ongoing of the governance of Pacifica, that this is the way to really preserve the network, to have ongoing discussions of local issues that would be raised and also national issues that would be raised, concurrently with the program. There is a lot to discuss always to preserve this network. There's a lot going on, and that this would raise people's awareness, but not only that, it would, it's not only for awareness, it's really direct participation in the governance of the network to really encourage and create a participating democracy which would really preserve the network and in addition to that filter out into the communities themselves, the communities that are represented by the listeners, the community organizations that these listeners are involved in order to directly to create more directly democratic structures in throughout the community, throughout the government, and throughout their own organizations. So Pacifica Matters has been conducting discussions of these issues that we're discussing here every week for at least 3 hours on the internet, and you can find out about this on PacificaMatters.net. But this is really the real purpose of this discussion is to have it finally conducted on the air, to have it regarded as part of the necessity to preserve Pacifica ongoing, that listeners must be the community. I'm not really trying to make a distinction necessarily between producers and listeners, but that the community as a whole, which is must be actively involved in discussing issues critical to Pacifica's survival, issues which are ultimately critical to the community itself, to the community's survival itself as a democratic community.
So again, that website is
PacificaMatters.net.
And there's a phone number for people to call? What's that?
Well, there is a phone number that for Coalition for Democratic Pacifica New York, a hotline which is 212-465-7562.
Again, 212-465-7562. Okay. Ray, contact information.
Well, what I have really is on savepacifica.org. I know this has WBAI.net, mm-hmm. that all the information relevant to the discussion we've been having, also well, information about what's happening nationwide, that information is included. Also, we're urging people to stay tuned and listen, to pay attention. We're going to notify people of the next meetings taking place, and hopefully as soon as the radio program can resume, we will announce again other activities, and we want people to understand that their involvement is a key part of the not only the survival but the thriving, to having a dynamic institution that can be useful in advancing our goals.
As I like to say, an informed listenership is our greatest strength and protection.
I like that.
Thank you. Hi, Carol. I would imagine Pacifica.org.
At www.pacifica.org, you get the links to the governing documents that are currently existing, the current bylaws, the articles of incorporation, and contact information for me and for the other subcommittee chairs. Anybody who has questions for me, you can email me at wildrose@con.net. Wildrose, like the flower, @con.net. I also take phone calls, 707-526-2867. I agree we must involve and inform our listenership. I think that that is the key to preserving Pacifica into the future. I think that when we don't know what's happening, bad things often happen. I'm not as anxious as some people are about this process. I think that we'll, before the end of the year, have some elections, and they will be good elections, and that will begin the process of establishing a representative system that where the dialogue will continue. And it's kind of a chicken and egg story. We say, well, this isn't democratic or this isn't representative, and so not everybody's involved. The way to create that is to get something in place that promotes and fosters further dialogue. So I say don't sweat the small stuff. We'll be all right.
Cool.
Wow.
Cool.
I've been kind of, if I may, on the side listening to the discussion. And, of course, there are a few things of concern to me, because I have questions, not necessarily of questioning, but in terms of how I'm hearing things. Mm-hmm. And my concern, one of the concerns that I have is that there is, at least in my perception, a concern, with the form as opposed to the substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of democracy and democratic process and so on, the idea, matter of fact, I got some email where someone was speaking about the writing into the laws, either the laws or the bylaws of Pacifica, the idea that ethnicity and nationality ought to be considered in terms of, I guess, electing people so that there is then adequate representation. And I wrote back something to the effect that if we get kind of bogged down in that, we're not going to go anywhere. I think that there has to be within each individual a commitment to. Then if I'm not a democratic person, regardless of how democratic the rules of Pacifica might be, I'm not going to be democratic. If I do not, that is, whether I'm anti-democratic by choice, consciously, or have no understanding of what democracy is, it doesn't matter what the rules say, it doesn't matter what the laws say, I'm still not going to be going by then, let me say, a democratic process. And I think that, as I said, not getting lost in the form and losing the substance of what is trying to then be created here is one of my concerns. I'm also concerned that people are interested in writing laws or rules to prevent something that is to prevent a takeover of Pacifica. And I think that immediately, again, like I said, our free speech, the time that we begin to define it, we already have squashed it. The idea that if we're writing from a perspective that we do not want such and such a thing to happen, as opposed to what, that is, instead of writing to promote, we're writing to prevent. We're going to then run into problems, as far as I'm concerned. That is, if we're looking to create an institution that is first, or I shouldn't say first, but one of its aspects is that it wants to be a bulwark of democracy, and also at the same time that it is also a democratic institution, we have to be very, very then careful about how we proceed and not become so, to me, caught up in whether or not 10% of the participants are people of color or women or what, but that there is an understanding, that is, there's an articulation of the participants for themselves and for the whoever they'll be speaking to ultimately, that there's an understanding of what democracy actually means, or let me say that there's some general understanding of it, because I guess one man's democracy is another man's something else. But the idea that I'm saying is that we don't get lost then in the process. That is, we get lost in the process of trying to write something that it's trying to be everything to everyone. It is not going to work. I heard some time ago, matter of fact, on a program here at WBAI, where a gentleman said that decisions are best made by an odd number of individuals, less than three.
Less than three.
and part of I'm raising that because Pacifica is still an institution. Someone is still going to have to make decisions. And the decisions will not only be what goes on the air. The decisions will have to do with how the organization or the organism itself functions, how it can then best be a support to what ultimately goes on the air. And when I say what ultimately goes on the air, because you did raise, Carol, some questions of, or the idea that if, in a sense, listeners are, this, that is, the board would, in a sense, support what goes on the air. And if listeners were dissatisfied with that, then the board would be removed and so on. And I'm trying to put it in a nutshell, and I hope I'm not misrepresenting what you're saying. But as I said, I am caught up in the idea that the pursuit of democracy is no longer the pursuit of democracy, but whether we should pursue democracy on a bicycle or in a motor car. And then we get caught up with how we're going to pursue it, as opposed to trying to actually get an understanding of what it is, so that when we do write laws and bylaws, when we do talk about governance, and trying to remember that whether on WBAI's ear or on Pacifica's airwaves, we can come here and speak about the bad things, if I may, of government, you know, how corporate, how the corporate world functions, and how people are always being then abused and exploited and oppressed. That in terms of that, we do remember that it is still an organization with employees, how these things are going to function, because it is not only broadcasting that this is involved in, but there's a whole support network before it gets to broadcasting that has also to be taken care of.
Yes, you're right. I'm glad you mentioned all of that. It's true, the organization has to function, and it has to support the people who work there. And I'm not talking support them financially, although some are paid. It has to support their work so that they can work together, I hope, in collaborative, collegial, respectful manner with one another. I think you were very eloquent about that, Hapti.
Yeah.
And I think that we commit ourselves to that, then we're very vulnerable to destructive forces because, it's easy. Well, I'm losing my train of thought, but if we cannot create inside our station dialogue amongst the people who work there with mutual respect, an ability to disagree and continue to work together with some harmony, then what the hell is Pacifica for? I'm hoping that that we can, over the next few years, create an environment that supports our workers and our ideals, our democratic ideals, and really does support free speech.
Well, I don't know if I can add something to that. I think sometimes, though, I understand what you're saying, but sometimes the form and function are inseparable.
Yeah.
That, for example, in the example that you gave about making sure that women are properly represented, and people of color or the so-called minority are, we have evidence in front of us that that if you do not take these factors into account, they don't happen. Recently, I was in a position to give an example I like to give now, and that's the case of the organizing a major protest. I believe I was out of the country then. I heard there were 50,000 individuals. Worked very hard to put. I organized a protest in Seattle, and the theme was protesting globalization, and which is a phenomenon that affects primarily people of color throughout the world and in this country, it could be argued. However, these people were sorely missed. So the point I'm trying to make is that going about sending, distributing information as widespread basis as possible, sending hundreds or even thousands of email out, having sit-ins, discussions, conferences to prepare this, somehow missed this individual. Some of it was based on class, meaning that if you had to buy a ticket from New York City and fly to Seattle, you might have known about the event and been unable to participate. But it seems that the point I'm trying to make though is that if you really wanted this individual to participate in this event, which obviously was extremely desirable, you would have to go beyond just reaching out in a standard fashion, that you do have to look at the result.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, I'm sorry, you're fine.
Yeah, you have to have in mind to not, well, you cannot guarantee results sometimes, but you have to look at the result rather than just the process in this case.
Carol, I wanted to be respectful of your request, because I know you have to leave to attend another appointment, so whenever you're ready to bow out, please speak up.
Yeah, well, I'm fascinated with this discussion, so I'm just going to be late, maybe.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You're right, Ray. I mean, we have... I think what we have to say is we have some underlying principles here. We have to recognize underlying principles. Our underlying principles are racial equity, social justice, war, resistance to war and oppression. And we have radio. We're a radio broadcasting organization. And our radio broadcasting should be directed towards informing and moving those values to the forefront of everything we do. And the more we do that, the more we will include, and so forth. We just have to start from where we are and continue our dedication to those principles. And what we did at KPFA, which I thought was very simple, was say 50%. A minimum 50% women and people of color. And if the electoral process doesn't supply that, then by the first choices of the voters, then we will remedy that by moving people up. That's a simple thing. And it's a dedication to a principle that I think is fine. I think that the more we carry out our mission, the more involvement we will have from different communities. But, you know, another thing, bylaws meetings, endless meetings. Is that where maybe many of our listeners want to be? Maybe it isn't. Maybe they're involved in other activism. Maybe it's not an attractive way to spend the day. Does that mean they don't care? No. I don't think it means that at all. I think it means that we have, those of us who are doing this, have a responsibility to do a good job of it, keeping those values in mind, and move the process forward and get some elections happening so that Pacifica, as a democratic organization, continue the dialogue into the future.
Andrew, you want to say?
I can't say that I disagree with what's been said here, but at all. But I think that it's not exactly, for example, endless meetings that are the problem. I think the problem with the meetings is that people have to feel in the meetings that what they do will have a result and will have impact. And not only that, I mean, I think the meetings have to be conducted. I mean, it's not that they can easily be conducted in this way, but the meetings have to take a form where participation is respected, is genuine, is encouraged, and is really going somewhere. There's a certain level of frustration, and enemy and boredom that results when people don't feel that they are really going to be listened to or really have impact, and that really that what they are doing at these meetings will have an effect on their lives in a very, very critical way. And I think that's the same issue that has to be addressed as we address the democracy of the radio station, how it will represent us. We really have to feel that we're not just being spoken to, but that we are speaking, and that we will somehow be represented, not on the air with all of our own individual programs, but that the programming will serve us because it is really, really an attempt to be responsive to the community, not to control the community, not to inform the community, not to educate the community, but also, which of course education and information are important, but also a genuine response to what the community is needs and is pleading for. So I think that somehow the idea of participation has to be really, really addressed head on and hard, and really with the perspective of what participation genuinely means. I think that the community itself, the more it becomes involved, the more it will be able to solve the questions and to come to solutions together, the more the community is actually able to confront itself and confront each other and confront the various aspects of itself. And part of the problem is that I think we are not, in some way, even though we are genuinely all here and many more than the people here, talking about ourselves as one community and talking about really actively confronting that issue as thinking of ourselves as one community. Rather, we think of ourselves as competing interests that have to be represented somehow, and to make sure that everybody has something that is said or something that is met. And I think somehow we have to, if we were genuinely participating and genuinely encouraging participation, the idea would be that we would be coming together to resolve something and to find solutions, and that we would be working together and not at loggerheads. And I know that I am being very vague about this, but somehow I think if we felt we were participating more, and if this could be developed among us, we would be working together for solutions rather than at loggerheads. So I think the frustration somehow comes out of feeling that our voices are not yet being heard. I mean, if you hear people talk about the programming at BAI right now, or I've heard people make in discussion about the programming at in Washington, D.C. Certainly there's been great controversy over the programming in Houston, and I cannot say what I've heard, that I've heard anything recently. Oh, I have heard frustration over in KPFA over the fact that the lab cannot get a program on the air and has been trying for a very long time. I haven't heard anything specific about the programming at KPFK at present, but people are not really sensing that they are being responded to yet, even though we're in an interim period trying to decide how to respond. And the people who have been trying to develop Pacifica Matters have had a great have met a great resistance. And I guess I would say that this is an attempt to put a genuine democratic discussion on the air, which would genuinely have a democratic impact in the community, and that if Pacifica is sincerely a network interested in preserving itself, there would not be so much resistance to this idea. So it's difficult to feel that, and this is not a comment on the people in this discussion, but that somehow there's no feeling among the community, I would say, this is a sense I get, that the community itself is really having an impact or being represented or being voiced, and somehow we have to construct that possibility.
At WBAI New York, you're listening to Labrish. My name is Haptas Lassie, and we're having a discussion with Ray LaForest, who is a member of the WBAI Local Advisory Board and a member of the Interim Pacifica National Board. He's also a member of the WBAI Committee. He's co-chair of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee. I hope I said all of that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
By telephone, we have the Secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board, who is Miss Carol Spooner. And I won't give you all your props because of the time, but suffice to say that she's the secretary of the Interim National Board. Miss Andrea Fishman, who is a member of the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI. Sean Rhodes, who is the producer of this segment. And this segment is discussing, again, the Pacifica settlement and the role that all of us, listeners, all producers, whatever roles we play variously, but in this particular process, the role that we all have and can play in trying to create or recreate, I prefer create, a Pacifica that meets our ideals. I think, if I may, on a personal commentary, bearing in mind what Ms. Fishman just said, there are two things that came to mind. One is that in terms of a process that just transpired, Kwame Ture or Stokely Carmichael said that there is a difference between what we fight against and what we fight for. And there's a coalition of groups who are then fighting against something, but it is not necessary that that coalition, that the various organizations within that coalition, the various individuals within that coalition are fighting for the same thing. They had something that they were commonly against, but the common consensus that they had, or the consensus that they had against, does not translate into a common consensus of what they are for. And that is just one thing to bear in mind. And earlier when I mentioned about the form overtaking the substance, I mentioned that and I'm happy about what you said, Ms. Spoon, and also what you said, Ms. Fishman, that in a sense, let us say that we have a deadline here. That is something that is rather concrete. That is, by the end of the year, some elections have to take place. And I think some 3 months later, some other elections have to take place. And whilst all of this is happening, the clock is still ticking. It's not you know, on hold waiting for things to happen the way. But I think what Ms. Spooner said is that the people who are involved in the process must be then cognizant of what their responsibility is, so that if in New York City or where in Washington, D.C., let me say there are no native people to be involved in the process, that the people who are involved in the process are aware that what they are creating is something that ultimately opens the door or leaves the door open or safeguards the interests of native people, so that if they come 6 months, 6 years, 60 years down the line, that thing is already in place, that they do not have to now come and fight or struggle to be a part of this thing that has been created. And I think that is what I'm alluding to when I speak about being caught up in the process, as opposed to then what the objective is, whether we're going to pursue democracy or whether we're going to get caught up in, you know, whether it should be a car and what color the car should be and so on and so forth. So this is what I'm saying. It is whether or not the participants have a keen sense of what democracy is, of when we speak of fair play, of justice. And I have to say that I heard the term social justice, and personally I do not agree with any adjectives before justice, because I feel that when you do that, it erodes everything. It's either justice or it's not. We are about environmental justice, and we just want justice. And that is, again, that is me. And the thing I'm saying is whether or not we're able to, because I think in this process, each of us have to become real soul searchers to really question ourselves as to what our understanding is of democracy. And something that I said is that I've found that democracy is best practiced at our lips than really practiced. That is, it is easy to speak of it, but to put it into practice is quite another story. And the other point that I've made is that not to become caught up in trying to preserve, we want to prevent something from happening again, or prevent something from happening, and that becomes how we, in a sense, we become fearful. So we're not able to then, you know, open the doors quite wide to really try to maximize our sense, our understanding, because if we ourselves do not understand what democracy is, it's impossible for us to create laws and bylaws and an institution that is going to be democratic. It is impossible. You know, I cannot make fondue if I do not know what the heck fondue is. So I think that is what then the process is. And as I said, to be continuously involved in some soul searching, so that there's always a honing of our personal understanding, our personal sense, our personal commitment to these ideas that are so easily, as I say, tossed about, because we tend to know the rhetoric of democracy. But as I said, putting practice to rhetoric is quite a whole nother story.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. By our Mr. Rhodes.
I was just going to say amen.
Oh,
thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
well, let me just add this one last thing. Speaking as a producer, why I feel it's important for listeners to be part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners may think, you know, that BAI is a unique working environment, and it is, and that the people inside the station know what's best and how to operate it. Let me just make the analogy. BAI is very unique in terms of a work environment, but it's like other institutions in one respect, and that is in terms of speaking out about corruption or wrongdoing taking place. Well, it's 4:44 a.m. here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Sean Rhodes. You've been listening to a special edition of Labrish, in which we continue our discussion about the settlement, bylaws rewriting, and the holding of local board elections. Unfortunately, because they're doing repairs on the antenna, we're going to have to go off the air for a little bit, and I doubt that this interview will be able to be continued. Once we get back on the air, you'll most likely be tuning into Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund at that time, which would be like 5 o'clock. But again, I would encourage you all to go to WBAI.net and also listen to the Pacifica National Board meeting, which is broadcasting Saturday, noon to 9 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. All right. Thank you. Guess what? They finished a little sooner than anticipated. WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial. It's 4:49 a.m. Let's see if we can squeeze in the rest of this while we have time. All right. As with any other institution where there's corruption or wrongdoing taking place, you'll have people who are quiet for a number of reasons. One is a fear of losing their job or their position, or their fear... They're afraid of being physically or verbally attacked. Then you have those who actually benefit from the corruption and don't want the dirty secret to get out. Then you have those who are feel that they can control the situation and are in control, and they don't want outside agitators coming in and telling them what to do. And then you have those who just come in and do their job and get out, and they don't want to get involved. And that dynamic, in that respect, BAI and Pacifica were like other institutions, and that's not to disparage, you know, the producers or the staff at BAI or within Pacifica. It just means they're human and reflective of the larger community. But the only reason, or the only way, that we were able to effect some sort of reform is because it's due to the fact that listeners on a large scale found out what was happening. And for it to be left up to the producers again to just, you know, mind the shop, if you will, that's a recipe for disaster. So that's why I feel it's imperative listeners have to be a part of this process, if only to make sure that the, you know, the station and the network is preserved.
Thank you.
So, I don't know if I can say something, or would we have time?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that it wouldn't be positive to have any group have monopoly. I don't know what listeners mean in this case. Hopefully, it means all of us who are not just listening. Obviously, it means that, but also means including producers, people on the board, anybody who's involved, directly concerned, implicated in the functioning of Pacifica. However, that being said, I think that I don't quite see it the way Andrea sees it, in the sense that I don't believe that there is one community. I think that what we are dealing with is a result of hundreds of years of a dissociative, unjust society that has created many deep-rooted ills, and that wishing that we could just sit down at the table and just pick up as though it didn't happen. I mean, we're looking at the crisis now, which is probably more on the psychological level. We're looking at the abuse being exposed of young people by priests. And the wound is deep. And wishing it to go away will not make it go away. And I submit that New York City and and I suspect the whole country is made up of different communities. And that I agree with Carol that we have to approach this problem with respect. We have to respect each other. And I don't even mind being a loggerhead once in a while. I think that that's part of the process. It will happen anyway. Hopefully we will not be doing it disrespectful or in a vicious way. But we do have to realize first that we're not starting on an equal basis, that we all have a different position within society. And some of it, I guess, would be equivalent to a teacher just doling out information and assuming that because he or she's doing it by, you know, speaking loud enough and taking the time and asking, did anybody hear, did anybody have any question, that somehow that this is done. And I think the reality suggests otherwise. And there are resentments, there are mistrust, and we have to deal with them, and they're part of the reality.
I think that's true, Ray. It's not that we have to wish that they go away, but I think we have to really somehow create a genuine means of address. And part of that would be in just dividing up the radio time. You know, if in communities, learning how to make room for each other's crises and acknowledging them and you know, just the process of sharing the radio time itself between right now. I mean, what is the greater crisis right now? Who do we devote the most time to? The abuse that the throughout the Catholic community that is being felt, and the Arab peoples that are being incarcerated without question, without, you know, explanation. I mean, how do we divide up the time among these crises, which are, you know, hardly avoidable in the society right now? How do we divide this, you know, and who do we give? And just the forcing that resolution, and this week it won't be so good as next week, and next, but just dealing with that, I think, would help communities. I mean, because you're absolutely right, we are at loggerheads with each other in many respects, and there aren't equal interests or equal time. It's not that we're going to sit down at the table even equally able to address each other. You know, some of us will be more able to address different members than others. But just battling out, I think, is the only way to do it.
Well, maybe I didn't mention one of the most important element, maybe, is, and which is also the assumption that our own views, our own experience, will suffice in expressing other people's experience.
Right, absolutely.
To me, that is one of the trickiest points.
The worst, yeah.
And that's why we all have to be at the table
right.
to do so.
That's true.
There's something I've been, two people I respect have been talking about recently, the community of differences. If we could conceive of ourselves as a community of differences, I think that that would be helpful. That our community can hold different voices, voices that don't sound the same, voices that don't speak the same from the same perspective. There can be counterpoint and point and harmony and disharmony, and that we could actually create something that could hold all of that without requiring resolution. Resolution is boring. Resolution, in my, you know, I'm talking about dissolving into something where you cannot see the difference even anymore.
Yes, right.
There needs to be difference. We need to respect difference, encourage difference, listen to it. Maybe that's enough. Maybe that is enough if we could create that.
Yeah, I would say that that is a solution.
I think that's true.
Because I think sometimes we figure that what is a solution is when we have agreement. But I think if we have agreement, because the thing that we say is that we agree to disagree. Mm. And we're talking here that this institution, Pacifica and its stations, are about free speech. And in free speech, it is what can we do not have to find agreement. It is that we have to find accommodation to allow for voices, and in a sense we are not to, in a sense, even be concerned what the voices are saying, but that the voices have an opportunity to speak. That is free speech,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. But I think we get caught up too that it is only free speech then when we say it is free speech. It is only free speech when it addresses, we would not consider it free speech if someone comes on these airwaves and praises George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But we say we're committed to free speech because people, what is he doing here? What is she doing here? How can they say that? But it is understanding that, and I'm saying that it is part of a process for us as individuals to come to terms with those things and not assume that because we take certain political positions that we understand what is at the core of the ideals that we expose. We have to call it a day. Mr. Rhodes, please.
All right. And wrapping up, I'd like to thank my guests once again, Andrea Fishman, Ray LaForest, and Carol Spooner. Again, the contact numbers are 212-465-7562.
Say it a little slowly.
212-465-7562. That's the CDPNY hotline. Carol Spooner's phone is 707-526-2867. Again, 2867. Her email is wildrose@pond.net. wildrose@pond.net.
No D, P-O-N.
P-O-N, I'm sorry, P-O-N.net. You can also go to the ever famous WBAI.net. There's also savepacifica.org. Pacifica.
I think it's savepacifica.net.
No, there's a different one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's pacificamatters.net. All these nets. Again, I'd like to thank each of you for taking time out of your schedules to speak with us. And come back again for a round two and share your insights and inform us about what role each of us can play in the rebuilding of Pacifica. Good luck with the National Board meeting.
Thank you.
Yes, and, you know, keep us informed and let us know how we can participate in, you know, and expand the community or communities, if you will.
Sean, if you could do me a favor,
yes,
and give people a means of contacting you so that the information, if they wanted to get the information that we're giving now, that they could get that information by contacting you, preferably a telephone number.
voicemail is 212-209-2957. 212-209-2957.
And let me thank Mr. Ray LaForest, Miss Andrea Fishman, Miss Carol Spooner, and also you, Sean Rhodes, Mr. Sean Rhodes, for this program. Thank you all, each, for taking the time, coming, participating here. And I'm sure if Sean is able to convince me again, we will have something subsequent to this. And again, thank you all so very much for taking the time and also for listening. You've been listening to Labridge. My